Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time we're taking a look at something pretty interesting. Something called parallel reality.
Parallel reality.
It's this tech that could really change the way churches and ministries, you know, function in the 21st century.
Yeah.
You've probably seen it in action, like at the airport.
Okay.
With those departure boards showing personalized flight info to each traveler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What if we brought that same level of customization into a church?
That is fascinating, like how it blends an individual experience with like the whole collective.
Yeah.
It's not just about like giving people different information, right?
Right.
It's about creating a sense of belonging.
Right.
Especially now where people feel so isolated.
Yeah, even when they're in a group.
Exactly.
So instead of having this generic welcome on the screen for everyone,
right,
you walk in and boom, there's your name. Maybe even reminders just for you.
Wow.
The person next to you sees something totally different geared towards them. That does sound pretty cool, but how does it actually work? Like, does it use facial recognition or something?
I mean, it's a bunch of different technologies all working together, right?
Okay.
I think some systems use eye tracking to see where you're looking.
Oh, wow.
Others use profiles that are linked to, you know, membership database or whatever. The key is that you need a really strong data structure behind the scenes to make it all work.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, is this just about the wow factor when you first see it? Or is there something more? Because the sources you shared mentioned personalized worship and even like interactive sermons.
Yeah, that's where things get really interesting, right? Like imagine you're at a service and you're looking at lyrics in your native language.
Uh-huh.
But the person next to you's seeing them in theirs.
Wow.
All on the same screen.
Okay.
That could be huge for churches with people from different backgrounds.
Right.
Everyone feels more welcome, you know?
Yeah, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
So we've got the welcome and basic stuff like languages, but where else does the personalization come in? You mentioned interactive sermons. Does that mean people like get to choose what the pastor's talking about?
Well, not exactly.
Well,
it's more about tailoring the content to each person's understanding.
Okay.
So like, if you're new to the Bible, you might see explanations of some of the theological terms during the sermon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But someone with more experience gets like a deeper analysis.
I'm picturing those pop-up definitions you see on streaming services.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that it doesn't change the message, but it adds like layers to it.
Right, exactly.
We've talked a lot about the individual experience, but what about navigating big spaces?
Right.
One of the sources mentioned wayfinding in like mega churches.
Oh, yeah. Imagine never getting lost again.
Right.
Like instead of generic signs, you have these screens directing you
mm-hmm.
to specific rooms, classrooms, the nursery, all tailored to what you need.
Wow.
It's like a GPS for the building.
So it's not just personalization. It's also making it user friendly.
Exactly.
Especially for visitors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all this tech must be expensive, right? I mean, can only like big, well-funded churches do this?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
It does take money to set it all up.
Right.
And you need experts to run it.
Uh-huh.
But as the technology becomes more common, the costs should come down.
Okay.
And then more churches can use it.
That's good news.
Yeah.
It would be a shame if only mega churches could benefit.
Right.
The sources also mentioned interactive Bible studies and personalized giving campaigns, too.
Oh, yeah. The possibilities are pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Like, imagine a Bible study where the questions adapt to each person's knowledge level.
Oh, wow.
It would make it way more engaging and inclusive, don't you think?
Yeah. So someone who's new to the Bible isn't overwhelmed.
Exactly.
And someone with more experience can go deeper.
Right.
It's a great way to make everyone feel comfortable. But how does it actually work? Does the system like gauge people's understanding?
It depends on the system.
Okay.
Some might use surveys before the study.
Oh, okay.
Others could track your engagement over time through like profiles and stuff.
Okay.
The point is, the tech is always adapting to how you're learning.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've gone from personalized welcomes to these interactive sermons and Bible studies.
Right.
What about giving campaigns? How does this tech change things there?
Well, imagine you see a thank you message for a donation you made.
Uh-huh.
Or info about a cause that you're really passionate about.
Okay.
It's not about pressuring people. It's about connecting them to the ministries that they care about the most.
It feels less like, give us money, and more like, come be a part of this.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm seeing a lot of potential here.
Yeah.
But I can't help but think about the downsides.
Right.
All this data collection.
Uh-huh.
it raises some privacy concerns, right?
Absolutely. Churches have to be really transparent about how they use people's information.
Yeah.
Trust is so important.
Right.
And they need to address these concerns head on.
We are seeing more and more conversations about data ethics these days.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's move on to some of the other applications mentioned in the sources.
Okay.
Like one source talked about the impact on missions.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine a church sharing real-time updates from the mission field with the congregation.
That would be amazing.
Right. People could actually see where their money is going.
Yeah.
Making that connection between, like, the local church and the global mission work.
Totally.
Instead of just hearing about it during announcements, they're experiencing it.
Yeah.
Which could lead to even more involvement and generosity, right?
That's sure.
But how would a church actually implement this technology for missions?
Well, picture this, right?
Okay.
A church partners with a ministry in another country.
Okay.
They set up cameras at the mission site, capturing all the work being done,
mm.
and they stream it right to the screens back home.
Showing the impact in real time.
That takes missions updates to a whole new level.
Right.
It's not just a report. It's a shared experience.
It is. And it's not just about sharing information either.
Okay.
They could also use it to facilitate prayer, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like, imagine a prayer request pops up on the screen from a missionary.
Uh-huh.
It makes prayer feel so much more immediate, you know?
Like those prayer chains people used to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But global.
Exactly.
But wouldn't this be really expensive, especially for smaller churches?
Yeah, the initial setup with cameras and streaming can be costly.
Right.
But as technology gets better, we should see cheaper solutions pop up.
Okay.
Making it accessible to more churches.
Good, good.
Yeah.
It would be a shame if only the big churches could use this for missions.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so we've covered personalized welcomes, interactive sermons, these missions updates,
mm-hmm.
and we've also got multilingual communication,
yeah.
which is really important for churches with diverse congregations.
As
instead of those old translation devices,
right.
everyone can see the notes, the hymns, the announcements in their language all on one screen.
Yeah, it's much more inclusive that way.
Right, than wearing headphones or having printed translations.
Exactly.
But wouldn't managing multiple language streams be really complex?
It does add complexity.
Yeah.
But it's worth it to make everyone feel welcome.
Right.
And translation technology is getting better all the time.
Uh-huh.
So it should become more streamlined and affordable.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So personalized welcomes, interactive sermons, missions, multilingual communication.
Wow, we've covered a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of potential.
It is.
But I think we need to talk about the downsides too.
Of course, yeah.
It's not all sunshine and roses.
Right.
We can't just throw technology at every problem.
Exactly.
It could even make things worse if we're not careful.
Like, yeah.
One thing that worries me is distractions.
Yeah, I see that.
If people are seeing personalized messages during a sermon,
yeah.
it could be tempting to tune out what's happening around them.
That's a good point. We don't want people more focused on their screens than on the message or each other.
Exactly.
And then there's the whole issue of digital silos, you know?
Right.
If everyone's in their own little digital world,
mm-hmm.
it could actually make face-to-face communication worse.
Yeah, it's ironic.
Yeah.
Technology meant to connect us could end up isolating us.
It's all about finding that balance.
Right.
Using technology to enhance community, not replace it.
It sounds like careful planning is key.
Absolutely.
Making sure this enhances the church experience, not creating new problems.
For sure. Churches need to have a clear vision, address any challenges early on.
Yeah.
And get the community involved in the decisions.
And training, right. We can't forget about training.
Oh, for sure.
Both staff and volunteers need to know how to use this stuff.
Yeah. If it's going to work well.
Right. We can't just assume everyone's going to figure it out on their own.
Exactly. Proper training and support are super important.
So parallel reality has huge potential.
It does.
But it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
It's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
But it has to be used carefully and thoughtfully.
So we've talked about the benefits and the challenges.
Yeah.
But now I want to get specific.
Okay.
How could this be used in different ministries?
I like where this is going.
Like one that comes to mind is young adult ministry.
Oh, yeah.
They're always looking for new ways to engage people, right?
For sure.
Imagine a young adult retreat.
Yeah.
They could create personalized schedules for everyone based on their interests.
That's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So someone who loves music sees reminders for the worship sessions, and someone who's more into service gets notifications about volunteer opportunities.
Exactly.
And they could use it for icebreakers or group assignments, too.
Oh, that's neat.
Helping people connect with others who share their interests.
It's like a friendship matchmaker.
It is.
Yeah.
And speaking of community building, what about small groups or Bible studies?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's reading the same passage.
Uh-huh.
But the questions and materials on the shared screen adapt to each person's knowledge level.
I love that.
Right. So someone new to the Bible gets basic explanations.
Uh-huh.
And someone who's been studying for years gets prompts for deeper thought.
It's like a personalized study guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creating an environment that's both inclusive and challenging, meeting people where they are.
Exactly.
And it's not just about the content.
Right.
What if we used it for prayer requests or to share reflections within the group?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Everyone sees their own requests.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can choose to share them anonymously.
Yeah.
It creates a safe space for vulnerability.
Absolutely.
And what about outreach?
Oh, yeah.
Like serving meals or organizing a community cleanup?
Uh-huh.
Churches could use it to share info about volunteer opportunities, sign-up sheets, directions to the event.
Making it easy for people to get involved.
Exactly.
I love it.
So with a little creativity,
this tech could support all sorts of ministry activities.
Totally, from discipleship to fellowship to missions to outreach.
And these are just a few examples.
Right.
As the technology gets better, I'm sure we'll see even more innovative ways to use it.
For sure. It's an exciting time to be looking at how faith and tech intersect.
It is, but we need to be careful, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not about blindly adopting new technology.
Right.
We need to think about how it impacts people, our communities, and how we practice our faith.
It's about making sure the tech serves our values and goals, not the other way around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as we keep exploring this parallel reality, we need to keep asking those important questions.
Right.
How can it help us connect with each other?
Yeah.
How can it help us grow spiritually?
Yeah.
How can we make sure it's inclusive for everyone?
Yeah.
And how can we use it responsibly and ethically, always putting people first?
Those are the key questions.
Yeah. These are the questions that will guide us.
As we navigate this new and changing world of technology and faith.
Absolutely.
Let's take a break, and then we'll wrap up our deep dive in part two.
Welcome back. We were just talking about some of the ethical things to think about with this parallel reality in churches.
Right, like how it could be distracting or create those digital silos.
Yeah, we want to use tech to help, but not lose that human connection.
Totally. It's all about finding that balance.
And that's where good design comes in, right?
Okay.
We have to think about how this tech fits into the actual church building.
Yeah.
And how we can use it to encourage people to talk and connect.
So maybe not just screens everywhere.
Right.
But designated spots for the personalized stuff, and other areas specifically designed for people to like chat and hang out.
Exactly. You want a space where people can move between those personalized moments and the shared ones.
It's not tech versus tradition.
Right.
It's about using tech to make the traditional stuff even better.
I like that. It's about evolving, not getting rid of things.
Yeah.
And as we try these things out, we got to bring the church community into the conversation.
That's so important. Churches are all about community.
Right.
So we need to hear what people think, address any worries they have.
Absolutely.
And make sure everyone's comfortable.
Transparency is key.
Yeah.
We got to be open about what we're doing.
And we can't forget about training.
Oh, that's huge.
Staff and volunteers need to know how this tech works.
If we want it to be successful.
Yeah, we can't just throw them in the deep end.
No, not at all.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Volunteers train to help people use the personalized features.
Uh-huh.
Answer questions about data privacy.
Right.
And even encourage people to interact with each other.
That would make a big difference.
It would make people feel more comfortable and included.
Definitely.
Before we wrap up, I want to go back to interactive sermons.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
It sounds cool, but I'm still not sure how it would work in real life.
Okay, let's break it down.
Okay.
You're at church listening to a sermon about forgiveness.
Okay.
The pastor's on the main screen doing their thing,
mm-hmm.
but you've got your phone or a tablet.
Yeah.
And you're seeing extra stuff just for you.
So it's not changing the sermon, but adding to it?
Exactly.
Okay, what kind of stuff are we talking about?
Like definitions of big words, questions to think about, even links to Bible verses.
Oh, okay.
And it's all tied to what the pastor's saying.
So, like, if they mention the prodigal son, I might see the whole parable pop up.
Exactly. Or some info about what was happening back then.
And someone who's struggling with forgiveness might see prompts to help them work through it?
Right, like journaling prompts or links to resources.
Wow, it's like having a personal study guide built in.
And it's all happening without interrupting the sermon.
This could be huge for new Christians or people who learn best by doing things.
It could.
But wouldn't it take forever to make all that extra content?
It does take time and effort,
yeah.
But there are companies making platforms for this now.
So churches could subscribe and get access to all sorts of stuff.
Exactly. Pre-made content, tools to customize things, it's all there.
That makes it much easier.
Yeah. And as the technology gets better, it'll only get easier.
But I wonder, how does all this affect the pastor?
Right.
Does it make them less important or create distance between them and the people?
That's a good question. It's really important to make sure this tech helps the pastor, not hurts them.
Instead of seeing it as a threat, maybe it's a new way to connect.
Exactly.
They can use it to understand people better.
Uh-huh. Tailor their sermons.
Right.
And offer more personalized guidance.
It's less about preaching to the masses.
Right.
And more about creating a unique experience for each person.
It's that balance again.
Yeah.
Using tech to make things stronger, not taking away from what's already there.
So well said.
It's about being open to new things, but always remembering what's important.
Our values, our connections, and building a better community.
I like that.
Now, before we move on to part three to wrap things up, let's think about what we've learned so far. All right, welcome back to our final part on parallel reality. We've been on quite a journey here.
We have, really digging into how this tech could totally reshape the way we do church.
Yeah, from personalized greetings to interactive sermons to those enhanced mission experiences.
Right, and don't forget those tailored Bible studies.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. We've covered a lot of ground.
It's been a wild ride.
But what stuck with me is that it's not just about fancy screens or personalized stuff.
No, it's deeper than that.
It's about solving real problems that churches face.
Or like people feeling isolated, even in a crowded room.
Yeah, that need to connect with each other in a genuine way.
Parallel reality could help with that.
But only if we're careful about how we use it.
Absolutely. Got to think about the ethics of it all.
The data privacy, the distractions.
And that whole digital silo thing. We don't want to divide people when we're trying to bring them together.
It feels like churches need to be both excited and cautious at the same time.
I agree. Like a pilot program, testing things out.
Yeah. Start small. See what works. Get feedback.
Maybe personalized welcomes or targeted announcements.
Right. Then if things go well, try more complex stuff like those interactive sermons.
Or customized giving campaigns.
It's almost like this tech is a partner in ministry.
I like that. Working together with the tech to achieve the church's mission.
That's a great way to put it. And it's a big takeaway from this whole deep dive.
It is. It's not a magic solution for every church.
Parallel reality is a tool.
A powerful one. But you got to use it right.
You have to think it through, evaluate as you go.
Make sure it aligns with the church's values.
And now I want to hear from you, our listener.
Yeah, what are you thinking after all this?
What excites you about parallel reality in your faith community?
What worries you?
This is a new frontier, and we're all figuring it out together.
But if we talk about it, ask the hard questions, approach it with wisdom and enthusiasm.
We can make sure this technology helps us live out our faith in a deeper, more connected way.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been a pleasure exploring this with you.
We hope it's given you some new ideas and encouraged you to think critically about how technology and faith can work together.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep.
We'll see you then.